Hey, I'm MFP. I'm here to talk about a new feature upcoming in Xbox Plus. We call it Chain of Command. It will be available to you pretty soon in one of the platform updates in the fall. Let's look at it. I think it's the most anticipated and cool feature that we've done in Xbox Plus in quite a while, and it will make extensibility a whole lot simpler. To demonstrate this feature, I've created a small class. It's not something we're shipping, but let's assume it is. Of course, this is pretty trivial, but I wanted it to fit on one screen. So here's a class. It has a journal member right here, and it has a new method and a calc amount method and a post method. Class is called journal posting. Basically, it creates an instance for passing a journal. There's a method to calculate an amount, which is protected. And then there's a public method, which is an entry point, starting a transaction, setting an amount from this method, setting a trans state and posting it. It's a pretty trivial class. Let's assume we have some extensibility requirements. First of all, as part of an extension, we want the ability to change the calc amount. Right now it's hard-coded to 42. That may not work for everyone, so as an extension, we want to be able to change it. Secondarily, we want the ability to save a history log or audit log of that a posting occurred, and of course, we want that within the same transaction. Now, as of today, you cannot do this with that code. We would need to change the original code. So let's look at how we would change this if we didn't, or as long as we don't have chain of command. The code became pretty big. So to satisfy the first requirement, we would have to put the hookable attribute on the calc amount method. This means that pre and post events will be raised for the method that we can then subscribe to as part of an extension. Secondarily, we have to guess that most likely to calculate the amount, you'd need the journal. So we have to expose that through a public method. In this case, parmJournal would be the name of the method. That would satisfy the first requirement. The second requirement would require us to raise some events inside the transaction so you can do whatever you need. And we don't really know if you need the extension hook point before or after, so we will probably be creating a delegate posted, which will be called after, and a delegate posting, which would be called before the posting occurs. So all in all, the method got bigger. If we did all this, the extension code could look like this. So to subscribe to the hook points we created, you need two static methods in a class. You need to decorate these static methods like this. One of them is a post handler for the calc amount method, and the other one is subscribing to the posted delegate. If we look at the last one first, this one is subscribing to the posted, and in here, since the delegate is raised inside the transaction, we can just log an event that the posting occurred. It will happen inside the same transaction, so that satisfied the second requirement. Looking at the first requirement, we need to get some information about the journal. We need to understand the context. And to satisfy that today, we can extract a lot of information from the XPP pre-post args, which is being passed in. To get this, it requires some glue code. We can call args.getThis and cast it to the journal posting, which will give us a journal posting from where we can get the journal. We can also get the arguments by getting args.getArgNumber and pass in a number, 1, the first argument to the method. To the calc amount is a journal type, so it will give us a journal type. So we have access to it. It's a little bit cumbersome, but doable. Since we want to influence the return value, we can also say, give me the current return value. I can do some math to it and I can set it again. So effectively now, instead of returning 42, the method will return 142. So all in all, doable with the changes that we made in the journal posting. There's a lot of clutter code here, or glue code if you like. So let's see how this will play out if we have chain of command. So going back to the original code, same as we started with. So no changes happened here. Let's see how we can satisfy these requirements using chain of command. The code will look like this. At first glance, you will see it's much shorter, there's much less glue code, and it's strongly typed as well. Let's walk you through it. First of all, to get into the chain of command, you need to create a class which is decorated with extension of attribute. It's the same as we are using today already that allows you to add new public methods to a class and allows you to add states. So it's following the same syntax here. What's new here is that we now allow you to create a method with the exact same signature as a method on the class you're extending. If you do this, that method will be wired up in a chain of command. So that means if multiple extenders are doing this, these methods will be invoked in a long sequence, one at a time, one calling the next in line. And that call to the next one is something that you can control as well. So it's happening inside the code. Notice the new keyword here, next, which basically tells the system, call the next one who's doing like me, who's extending, and they will keep calling until eventually there are no more. And in that case, it will call the original code back on the class that is being extended. You must call next, otherwise you'll get a compile error. So you can't really replace the existing logic here. So there's no way of breaking this chain. Other things worth calling out here is that since you have the exact same signature as the original class, you're now strongly typed. So you have access to the journal type in this case directly. You have access to all the parameters directly, strongly typed and with the right name. So you don't need to worry about what number the parameters have. You don't need to worry about casting or anything like that. Notice you also have access to the return value because next will be returning the value from the original method. So you can actually extract those values and then you can do whatever you like to them and return the value in your own method. Now, if someone else is calling calcamount on the other side of you, just like you are doing, but is being called before you, then they will notice that when they call next, they will call into your method, which will be the next in line, and then eventually it will call the original code, and you will be adding 100 to the value, so they will be receiving 142, and then they can do whatever they like with that value. So that way, less clutter code, strongly typed, and a much more elegant solution. If we look at the post method, we can see here that there's no events raised inside the original transaction. So, hey, how can you make sure that your history log happens inside that transaction? Well, now you can just start your own transaction because we support nested transactions in X++. So by starting a new transaction, you ensure that your logging happens inside the same transaction as what's in the original code, which is called by the next post. So that way you satisfy that requirement as well. So notice here that we are able to have a context around the calls from the pre to the post. So without chain of command, you could have a pre and a post event, but you wouldn't really have a context between them. There's no way to put state. Now you can do this. In this case, the context is a transaction begin and commit, but you might as well have some variables set before that you're then reading after. So that's a pretty cool feature. Other things worth calling out here is that we have a public method where you can do this too, which is of course fine. It also had pre and post. But notice the calcamount method, that one is protected. You can also do this for protected methods. So now suddenly all protected method becomes extension points. Private methods are not supported here. Also notice that I have access to journal.dataRID, but access to journal immediately here. Journal is a protected member over here. All class level members are protected in X++ by default. So this one is protected, meaning that previously you wouldn't have access to it unless we create this part method, but previously you wouldn't have access. With chain of command you do. So now you have access to all protected methods and access to all protected members as well. That's pretty cool. And again, notice how the return value is returned right here. There's no need to call some args.set return value. It's strongly typed. If you try to return something that is not an amount, you'll get a compilation error. So all is pretty cool this way. And finally, as I mentioned, we're now doing this inside our own transaction block, so you can have state before and after the call to next. So let's look through the benefits. First of all, we need Microsoft need not to refactor as much code to enable common extensibility scenarios. It means that there's less clutter in the code. The original Microsoft code remains nicer because we don't have to raise all these events, we don't have to put in all these hookable and whatnot. And of course, that's less work. Even more importantly, for those extending the Microsoft code, you will be unblocked in a lot of common extension scenarios. You don't have to wait for Microsoft to build in the hook points you need. You will be ready to go as soon as you have the command chain of command feature. It also means that the code you're producing is much easier to author. It's wrongly typed, it's not based on subscriptions, it's not a static method, you can have state transitioning from pre to post. Lot easier code to write, lot easier code to read and to maintain. Further, we are supporting multiple side-by-side extensions, so if you start using chain of command, don't worry, someone else can also do it on the same class, and we'll make sure that they are all invoked in the right sequence, just as you would expect. It works similarly to how pre and post events are being raised. They will be called in an arbitrary order that you cannot control, but they will be called. And another pretty cool feature here is, and it's worth mentioning, this will not change any compatibility requirements, because in classes in X++, you can derive from them. So if we start changing anything that's protected in a class, it's basically a breaking change. Now with chain of command, the requirements for us to be backward compatible are the same. So we still cannot change any protected members or protected methods without breaking compatibility. And that remains here. Everything that's private, we can change at will. We don't have to be backward compatible here. But that was also true before. Chain of command is not changing it. So even though we're opening up for all these new extension capabilities, it's not really making life harder for Microsoft in terms of how to maintain backwards compatibility. Thank you for listening. I hope you can see the value in this. If you have any questions or anything, make sure to leave a comment. Thank you so much.